It's Bill Left with you on WGN. Are you getting everything that you want? Well, Janet Poole can help you. Janet is a happiness expert. She says that there are five life-changing reasons that most people don't achieve their goals. Let's see if we can change all that right here this evening. Hello, Janet. How are you?
Hi, Bill. It's great to be with you.
I appreciate that. First of all, let's examine your job title for a second. Happiness expert. How does somebody achieve that? That's not a bad thing to be.
Yes, I know. Well, it's my ideal as well, Bill. And you could also say it's a results thing as well, that I go after results. And one of the ways you do that is, first of all, by saying yes to life.
You have to do that, don't you? Why be negative? You got to just be more accepting, don't you?
Well, I say come from within and start being more authentic and being ourselves, our true selves that's busting to get out. And really, from there, it's a hop, skip, and a jump to happiness.
Janet, when you walk around the world and you just look at people, you see various things, but aren't you amazed on an average day when you walk around and you just see people with kind of down faces, sullen attitudes, and you think to yourself, you're only going to get one chance at this. Why live life like that, huh?
Well, I mean, I suppose what I say is go for what you want. First of all, and I was just listening to the traffic report there, and I was thinking, wow, you know, so many people don't know that they can go and do what they love, and that makes all the difference. So as you say, if you're going to live this once, or if you think maybe you do live more than once, but make this the best life you can, then why not do what you love?
Yep. That's so true. But people, you know, people will tell you, because I always say to people who are doing jobs they don't like, can't you find something that's more fun? Can't you find something that you enjoy a little bit more? And you have to be honest in a situation like we've had the last 5, 6, 7 years. Just the way the economy's been, people are just kind of feeling lucky to have a job at all, much less chase something that they don't have. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I do. And really, this is why talking with you is so wonderful, because people need this message more than ever, in that we allow the economy. So we listen to the news, we watch the news, and if it's doom and gloom, then we take that home with us, and that's how we create the next day.
Yep, yep.
So what I'm about is, in fact, turning all of that on its head and saying, okay, I don't care what's happening on around me or what's going on around me, I'm going to decide what I want. And this is where, you know, we suppress what we really, really want. And we actually, you're right, people think they can't get it. They've got an attitude of I'm really lucky to have my job. And I totally 100% understand that. You know, we've got mortgages, we've got families, things like that. But it all starts with knowledge. And really, I'm not saying to anybody, leave your job today. All I say is start with some knowledge, some enlightening knowledge that's going to change your way of thinking. And you will come to an understanding, ultimately, that you can get what you want. And really, it's about opening yourself up to that possibility.
Janet, at the very base of all of this are goals. When people set goals for themselves, how concrete do those goals have to be? Is it a good idea to write those goals down? Do you want to be negotiable with those goals? Do you want to come up with a list of 2, 3, 4, 5 things that you want, short-term, long-term? How do you get to that role with the goals? What do you want to do first?
Well, it sounds like you know a little bit about it.
A little bit.
Okay, well, yes, I say go for something big. Now, as I said before, most of us limit ourselves, and we really think we can't go for anything big. So I actually say go for something outrageous, but you've got no idea how you're going to achieve it. And yes, absolutely, put that in writing. And, while yes, it's good to be concrete about it, mm-hmm. What happens, however, is the more we add to our knowledge, the more we understand that we can have more than we've allowed ourselves today.
But
and also, it's interesting what you say about the importance of having goals, but mm-hmm. Having a goal is vital, because otherwise we're lost. There's no destination. We don't know where we're going. However, what we find is that it's not so much the goal that's important, but it's who we become on the journey to the goal.
Mm.
And when we grow, and I'm sure you've found this as well with your life, Bill, the more you grow and try new things, the happier you get.
Yep.
But if you stagnate And look, if somebody has been in a job, the same job for 20 years and doesn't like it, then I'm not surprised, because unless they're growing and exploring and discovering life, it can get very depressing, because if something looks the same every day, it's very depressing.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Janet, do you think that most of us give up way too easily? And I will give you a quick example. Every year, I belonged to a health club for years and years and years, and every year, the first 3 weeks in January, the health club is filled to the rafters with people who say, this is the year I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to start working out 2, 3, 4 times a week. I'm going to be at that health club and get myself into great shape. And then by the third and sometimes fourth week in January, it's right back to the way it used to be. All those people have kind of given up. Do you think we just tend to give up too easily?
Absolutely, we do. And it's, I mean, I remember that because I used to, I mean, I'm on a property now, so I don't go to the gym every day, but I did as well. And there was always more people at the beginning of the year, for sure.
Yeah.
And persistence is one of the major reasons people don't achieve their goals. And what they don't understand, and which is what I come, where I come from, is once we understand the power of the mind, and that we've already had so much programming about who we are and what we're allowed to have, and perhaps even, you know, in if you're talking about the example of exercise, that perhaps we don't see ourselves as fit and healthy, the programming that we've had since we were children is going to win. So we really have to persist with this new way of thinking. And even that, with that comes why I've decided to start facilitating a program called Thinking into Results, because we get our results are that much greater when we've got somebody championing us on and encouraging us and telling us we can do it. Because most people, well, I just think it's a lot more fun when we're doing it with other people.
Yeah.
And I also, Bill, what happens as well is we have other people around us who perhaps are of the opinion we can't achieve or don't believe in us.
Mm-hmm.
We can even, you know, maybe even people who are trying to go to the gym are surrounded by people who go, they'll give up any minute, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so that's what happens as well. We're surrounded. So we need somebody who believes in us, and that's something that I think I do rather well, is that I believe in other people and what they're capable of.
Do me a favor. Talk about, you mentioned a little while ago about the programming we've had as children. What's wrong with that process? What are we being taught as children that's kind of impeding our progress later on as adults?
Okay, yeah. Well, what happens is that, first of all, this is a multi-layered or multiple answers to your question. What happens is that, first of all, we get programmed into doing things the way other people like us to do them.
Yeah.
And we get programmed into needing acceptance and approval from others, and we're told to be nice people and so that we can be accepted by other people. And also then what comes through is that we get our parents or the family that is around us, we get their likes and dislikes, their goals or lack of goals, or we could even be surrounded by poverty consciousness. We could be surrounded by anger, or, you know, if we're lucky, we get surrounded by love and laughter and a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that programming stays with us. So we're genetically born with this in us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then the environment takes over. But what happens is that whatever's programmed there limits us into thinking we can only achieve a certain amount in life. So it's no coincidence that people with high-achieving parents will more than likely go on to be high-achieving people.
So after years and years and years of hearing, you know, well, you've got your limits. You're good at this, you're good at this, and let's keep it to that. At some point, it's like breaking a bad habit. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, because that programming ultimately exhibits as habits, things that we do automatically without even thinking about it. But then also what comes into our life beyond that is the daily programming that we have, which is the news on television or whatever news we're reading, be it in the newspaper, radio or television, and that's other people's opinions. And we've been trained as well to believe what we see in the media or read about in the media and not to actually come from within and say, is that really true? Is there another way through this? So we get bombarded, even by soap operas or whatever, and how are we supposed to look,
mm-hmm.
and who are we supposed to be, and what is success? Because the whole word of success, to me, needs to be explored as well. And my opinion is success is really just doing what you love, you know, and achieving those things that are important to you.
Let me tell you how this works in for me, Janet. Tell me if you agree with this. Are the Kardashians, I know you're in Australia, are the Kardashian sisters popular in Australia?
I have seen them on the cover of magazines, but
they're not that big of a deal. Please trust me when I say this. Consider yourself very, very fortunate, because here in the United States, they're on television 24 hours a day, and so many people are influenced by them. And what happens there is they're very, very narcissistic people. And I keep saying that what they're doing is they're raising a whole generation of girls who watch those shows to be narcissistic and think that the whole universe centers around them. But that kind of gets along the same line of what you're saying, doesn't it? You're influenced by the media very much.
Well, what happens is that these young girls, and honestly, it is happening like this in Australia, not necessarily through the Kardashian girls, but in other ways, is that these girls then think that to be loved,
yeah,
and if they're ever going to have some, you know, someone to love them in their life, and also they don't understand that the only person who can give us love is ourselves, but that's another whole story. But what they start, they lose their sense of self. So they have got these enormous, tremendous genius qualities and talents and abilities within them, but they're taught that they're not good enough because
yeah.
they need to be like this rather, and this is what's acceptable, this is what's successful, and so they deny all of that other side, and we land up with this vanilla beige society where everybody looks the same.
Yeah.
Know?
And that's not right. You want to be an individual. You want to be different from everybody else. All right, hold that thought. I've got happiness expert Janet Poole on the line with me. Her book is How to Get Anything You Want Just Like That. The website is janetpoole.com. I'm going to spell it out for you. Janet, the traditional way, and then Poole, P-O-O-L-E, janetpoole.com. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. You can call or text in if you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200, or a text to 24720. We'll be back after this. It's WGN. It's Bill Leff with you on WGN, along with my guest Janet Poole, a happiness expert, the author of How to Get Anything You Want Just Like That. Her website is her name, janetpoole.com. There's an E at the end of Poole. Janet, let's talk about the title of the book for just a second, How to Get Anything You Want Just Like That. Anything? Within reason, right?
I'm glad you brought that up, you know, because when I titled the book, I obviously thought about it very carefully and knew that there would be a certain element or a certain amount of people who would go, I just don't believe that. That's impossible. So, but at the same time, as I was thinking that, I thought, you know what, the lie would be if I said how to get virtually anything you want just like that. Because ultimately, when we understand the mind, the power of the mind,
mm-hmm.
if you change just one thought, ultimately, you can totally change your life. And to get back to the anything, I would like to clarify that we cannot control other people. So when the anything comes in, absolutely we can create a goal to have wonderful people in our life. And, you know, by loving ourselves, that's one of the greatest ways to start. But we cannot force anybody to be a certain way in our life or to even be in our life. Now, of course, that has been done over the years, but that's called slavery, and I don't really go there. So,
yep.
So does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It really does. What is it that people have the most hard time achieving that shouldn't be that difficult? What comes to mind right away?
Relationships, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely relationships, and really we probably don't focus enough on having good relationships. We tend to go for money, perhaps, or I suppose a nice house or something like that. But yet it's our relationships in our life that teach us the most,
mm-hmm.
and they bring us so much joy and laughter. And a lot of the issues or the challenges come from us wanting people to be a certain way and wanting to change other people, when in fact the only person we can change is us. And when we change who we are, suddenly other people become different. So mainly I would say relationships.
Why does it take people, sometimes it takes people's years and sometimes it takes people a lifetime to realize exactly what you just said, that as much effort as you put into it, if somebody is a certain way, you're going to have a very, very hard time, if at all, to be able to change them. Why does it take people so long to realize that?
Look, I would say, Bill, that even when we know this information, applying it can be very, very challenging.
Yeah.
Because, again, it comes down to the programming in our minds as to we're definitely emotional beings, all right? And there's been a whole victim mentality played out as part of our programming. And most people, even, I say, big burly men, have some kind of self-pity at times. I think most people are working on that part of themselves. So when a relationship's not working, that's one of the first things to come up, is the self-pity. And it's almost we get a joy. It's kind of a wacky kind of thing, that it's a joy, or we kind of enjoy feeling bad.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Why would we?
Well, because we release, it's like a chemical thing that happens with us. And then, say we have an argument with our partner or spouse or with somebody in our family, then we get to make up later, and we enjoy that chemical reaction as well. So a lot of our body is just really chemical reactions, and so we go for those. So it's almost like an addiction, just the same way alcohol or smoking is. We are emotionally addicted to chemicals in our body. So sometimes you'll find, even in relationships, people are getting along really, really well, and then one of the people will say, well, I haven't had my hit of the chemicals lately, and they'll create a drama out of nothing. Have you found that?
Yeah, not only have I found that, I will tell you a very quick story. Janet, tell me what you think about this. There was a time in my life where I gambled quite a bit. I don't do it anymore. It's been years, but I used to gamble quite a bit. And I read this study where they said that there's some drug in your brain. There's something that kicks in for a gambler when they're losing, that they actually find, your average gambler finds more enjoyable than when they're winning. And they listed the symptoms, and I went, boy, that was me and pretty much everybody I knew who gambled too much. Just like what you're saying, that somehow down deep we enjoy feeling bad. It was that same thing with gambling, where people just tend to like, they won't admit to it, but when you think about it, there's something more comfortable in the losing.
Yeah, actually, that's brought up a few things for me. But the first thing that came up was probably it's like an adrenaline rush.
Yep.
You know, we're in crisis, and maybe we, most of our life, I think our crises come in other ways now. Our anxieties come in other ways. It used to be that you were, you know, being chased by a lion or something.
Sure.
But perhaps we missed that adrenaline rush. But there is what you just mentioned there about us. People choose failure as a more comfortable thing than they choose success. And this comes back again from, you know, that you can't get anything you want. Most people, I mean, I think I was told that you can't get what you want. You know, life's not fair. And
I believe Mick Jagger actually sang a song about that. You can't always get what you want, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So don't you think that it boils down to, at least in what I read about gambling, is that we really do expect to lose. If we're gambling, we expect to lose our money. But in a relationship or in life, we expect at some point to feel bad. So there's almost like a recognition factor where we go, well, we knew this was coming, and here it is, and that's what it presents.
Okay, so what about that movie Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
Most people by now have seen.
Sure.
Is what we're doing is that we're creating, now it all comes back to thought, believe it or not, is that we create this cycle in our life where we experience a circumstance that we don't want to experience. It's something we don't want, but it kind of makes us feel bad. It's not going the way we want, and we say, well, life is unfair, or that the economy's bad. So then our next thought is created with that in mind, and, of course, it throws it forward. Our thought is thrown forward into our future to create the same again the next day. And that, it really is about breaking that cycle. And as you said before, persistence,
mm-hmm.
We really have to be very persistent about breaking it, because we're so programmed for whatever it is. I mean, everybody's life is different in a certain way, and we're all having different experiences. But unless we change something, we're going to keep getting the results we've always got. So we've got to do things differently.
So when you find yourself in one of these ruts that are inevitable, it's just the way it is, at some point you have to realize what you're in the middle of and somehow find a way out. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. What happens is that society dictates that this is the pathway through life. Okay, you go to school, you go to university or college in America, mm-hmm. or you perhaps get married, have children. Okay, mm-hmm. So there's a whole pathway laid out for us, and that's the rut that you're talking about. So we quickly get in, and then it's about being approved of and accepted and loved by our families and friends, because if we're doing that, we're seen as a success, and we love that pat on the back. We get the warm and fuzzies when we're doing what other people approve of.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to follow that because we want our family to be proud of us, rather than if we were. And Bill, the thing is that we've lost touch with who we really are. So many people come to me and say, something's missing in my life.
Yeah.
And I say, well, what is it that you want? And they'll say, I don't know. My big problem is I don't know what I want. Well, I say that's because we've suppressed our needs and our wants for so long we've forgotten.
Janet, can you hold on for a little bit? Are you okay on time?
I sure can.
I like that. Janet Poole is my guest, the award-winning author of How to Get Anything You Want, just like that. Her website is her own name, janetpoole.com. Don't forget there's an E at the end of Poole. We'll do the news and then continue our discussion next. It's WGN. It's Bill Left with you on WGN. My guest is Janet Poole, the award-winning author of How to Get Anything You Want, Just Like That. You can visit her website, which is her name, janetpoole.com. Poole does have an E at the end of it. Janet, we've talked about the first part of the equation of your book, which is how to get anything you want, and I questioned and said anything, and you said, yeah, pretty much anything. Let's talk about the just like that part of it. We now live in a society that is instantaneous. Our attention spans are very short, and we want things fixed very, very quickly. Can things like this happen very quickly?
Well, they can, absolutely, because if we change our perception of something, if we change the way we look at things, then the things we look at change. So instantly we can get a whole new perspective on a situation when we look at it differently, when we allow some objectivity to come in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So it can be just as simple as that. And often, you know, even if a person's in a challenging situation, if they're having some issues in their life, just by being willing to look at it in another way, I always say that there's an answer. There's always an answer to everything. And they will find answers that way. So it's really that our willingness, and a lot of this comes in, is being willingness, our willingness to be open and to look at things differently.
We have a phrase here in America. I would hope that it has carried over to Australia. I'm not positive that it has. But, and sometimes, I'll be honest with you, it's an overused phrase, but it's think outside the box. We're so used to thinking in a very square, linear way.
Yes.
And more times than not, that's not going to solve the problem. Why do we fall into that rut? Why do we really think that everything is a certain way when really the sky's the limit? Anything can happen.
Well, Bill, I don't know how much you get into all the other stuff as far as, the as I said, the media, the internet, our schooling. All of that, in fact, is bringing our box in smaller.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's making it smaller. So we become very concerned about even children, teenage girls are becoming more concerned. But, you know, where do they wear their socks? I mean, well, okay, in Australia we have uniforms for mm-hmm. school children.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they express their individuality, I suppose, by wearing their socks to a certain level rather than all the way up or all the way down. You know, things like that, which are just so minute and so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's what we've come to. And then what they don't realize is that they're trying to express their individuality that way, but they've been like everybody else. So it's really, we really need to, and I always say that school ought to have taught us who we really are and ought to expand our visions and teach us who we really are as far as how to think, how to create what we really want in our life, stuff that's in my book. However, it doesn't. Our education system teaches us a certain amount of information, and that's it. And if we can repeat it back in an acceptable form,
mm-hmm.
then we pass the exam and we get the degree. But ultimately, we're not the inventor that we used to be, even at the turn of the century. So much was happening with, you know, how to fly and, you know, making, like, you know, Henry Ford making cars.
Sure.
You know, and a lot of that's not necessarily happening. Yes, we're getting greater technologies, but, yeah, the box is getting smaller for most people. And yet at the same time, Bill, I do find people are opening up and starting to, you know, read books like mine.
You know, Janet, I've been very fortunate for most of my life. The careers that I've had have been in the creative field. And I always find that most people in the creative field aren't practitioners of the word no. If you bring in an idea, most people hopefully will say, hey, that's a good idea. Here's how to make it even better. Every once in a while, you'll come across somebody who just says, ah, that won't work. That'll never work. But I don't understand that kind of an attitude. Why would you be in any line of work where your whole job is to believe, that's not going to work? That's not a healthy way to live a life, is it?
Well, I think it depends on the job, because a lot of jobs that just do what you're told, and people aren't empowered in their job.
Right.
They're just told to do what they want, do the job, and that's it. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah.
And what comes out of that, though, what brought something that just popped in my mind then when you were talking about no, is that people live with a lot of fear. And there's a whole thing about, you know, it also comes back to, in my book I say love yourself first, and this is really controversial,
mm-hmm.
but it's really about going for what's right for you, and people are too scared to go for what's right for them. So they tend to shut it down because it seems too dangerous, and so fear holds a lot of people back.
When you say that that's a controversial stance, love yourself first, do people view that as being a little selfish? Is that why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A person is viewed as being self-centered, and certainly in the culture I was brought up in, it was all about being unselfish.
Sure.
And yet, when I came to understand how the mind works, how life works, I realized that if our whole motive is to be unselfish in our life, then we're going to make ourselves miserable, first
yeah.
of all. Then we're supposed to be happy being miserable. So now we're supposed to be happy being miserable as an unselfish person, but we're proud that we're unselfish. None of that really works. And then when you get into the quantum physics aspect of things, is that you discover we can only really ever make ourselves happy, and we can never influence anybody else's reality. So this whole business of trying to make everybody else happy doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, that said, let me ask you this. So many people have to spend certain amounts of time doing things that they don't want to do. I'll give you a couple of quick examples. I was talking to a friend of mine over the weekend who was saying, I've got to go visit my grandfather. I hate visiting my grandfather. It's the worst. I see him once or twice a month. It's the worst. Another guy was telling me how he was going to somebody who works with, it's their daughter's wedding. And he goes, I hate weddings where I don't know anybody, but I got to sit through this wedding and I don't know anybody. How do we draw the line? You know, we all have little tasks that we have to do on a daily or weekly or monthly basis that we don't want to do. How do we figure out, do I want to spend the time doing something I don't want to do? You know what I mean?
Yes, okay. And I have got a whole chapter on obligations.
Yeah.
Because it's, and ultimately we don't have to. And the more you start to live your life, so starting out, this stuff can be very, very tricky.
Sure.
But the more you start to live your life according to your own agenda, you will be, I absolutely say, giving a lot of love to other people, but things will flow more for the way you want it. So obligation is a huge thing as far as family goes.
Yeah.
Now, I know, you know, when it's our grandfather or our parents, it is a challenging one. And I, you know, personally, I'd probably just, you know, see them. You know what I mean?
It's an obligation.
It is an obligation. I mean, however, fundamentally, as I said, when you get into the flow of really living your life the way you want to live it, you'll find those kind of things disappearing. All right? Because it's as if we have then said, we must do this, and we're obligated to do this, and I have no choice in my life. So these things will come up.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, yes, I say, well, keep going with seeing your grandfather or whoever it is that you don't want to see, But at the same time, start changing your life so that you are most of the time doing things that you love. And other things will just come along as well. And you will change your reality to being one that you enjoy. And because I'm just thinking about my own life now. There's just so little that I do that is obligation or that I don't want to do.
And did that take some time, though, Janet? That doesn't happen overnight, does it?
That's what I mean. It can be just, but it can be an attitude because people, as I said, we've been taught to put everybody else before ourselves. So that's a big one to change. And yes, we start slowly and we start bit by bit. And the way I say it is even if you create a goal in your life, it's about dealing with the opportunities you have in front of you right now. And I mean, you know, you've heard of living in them now and being present.
Sure, of course.
All of that. Yeah. But it's often we complicate it by going beyond the now. Instead of saying, okay, these are my choices right now, and I'm starting to sink into, you know, results that I really want.
Yep.
But acting on those opportunities that we have. And as I said, the work that I do with the program called Thinking Into Results creates goals so that when they require action, and we take action, we get creative with what action we can take, and then we start to change our life through the actions that we're, and we start to create more opportunities by taking action. And that's the way it starts to change day by day. But really, it's just looking at what's available right now in my life as to how I can change that.
Jen, I had a guest on with me a couple months ago who talked about how whenever you're on an airplane, they say if something bad happens on the airplane, put your own mask on, your air mask on first, and then help your children. And they said that's really the way you have to live your life, is even though it seems sort of selfish when you look at it from a distance, you have to make sure that you're okay first, and then you can help everybody around you. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, I think I used that example in my book because yeah. It is, and honestly, I mean, I even thought twice about putting this in my book because I knew it would be controversial, and yet people have embraced that and, in fact, have thanked me and said, thank you for giving me the permission to love myself first and to understand this in another way. So, I mean, I'm thrilled that that's, you know, what's happened, but I also decided I'm putting this in because, to me, this is the truth of life, and I'm not about to put anything else in my book, and truth is often one of the toughest things for us to express. About the way we really think,
yep,
and absolutely, it's just that we've been taught to be unselfish and self-centered, rather that we shouldn't be self-centered, and we forget, you know, that ultimately, if we are okay, we've got so much more to give other people, and I come back to saying, wouldn't you want to be with somebody or be around somebody who's happy, filled with goals and achieving, than somebody who's bitter and twisted and withdrawn?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that makes sense. And also, think about this. If you wouldn't have put that chapter in the book, you would have just had a whole bunch of blank pages right there in the middle of your book. That's not good. People would have complained. Janet Poole is my guest. She's the award-winning author of How to Get Anything You Want Just Like That. Her website is her name, janetpoole.com. Janet, the way you've always spelled it, and then Poole with an E at the end. We'll come back and finish up in just a little bit. Stick around. This is WGN. It's Bill Left with you on WGN, along with Janet Poole, the award-winning author of How to Get Anything You Want Just Like That. We're talking about goals and achieving your goals and how you can do it and make your life a whole lot better. Janet, I'm going to warn you right now. I'm going to say something that might be profound. I'm not positive, but I'm going to aim for profound. Are you ready? Whenever people talk about, you know, they'll say something about a guy or a girl and they'll say, he thinks he's like the center of the universe or something like that. And that's a negative thing. And it should be. However, when you stop and think about it, whatever our universe is that we live in, we kind of should be the center of that universe, shouldn't we?
Yes. And again, this is why I love the aspect of quantum physics that I put a little bit of it in my book, because it helps people to see there is a scientific proof to this whole thing. And what you come to understand is that there is something called a quantum field, and I always encourage people to read more about quantum physics because it is our life. But what we find is that we all live in our own quantum field. We're living in our own reality. So this is why I say there's infinite potential, infinite opportunity for all of us to get everything we want, because today most people think, if I say, you know, we're going for a certain job, if you get it, then I can't get it.
Right.
And that's not true, because we're living in multiple timelines. We're in the quantum field is a really wacky, chaotic place, and there's some really weird things happening, which is why it took so long for science to even agree that this was out there, because it was totally contradicted everything science had thought was correct before. But really, we are living in our own world. And so you absolutely nailed it when you said we live in our own universe, and ultimately, and it's not about us bragging about who we are and big-noting ourselves. I think it is about being kind and loving, and ultimately, though, when we are kind and loving to ourselves, we will find it so much easier to be that way to others.
There's a line at the end of the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory that rings very, very true. Willy Wonka says to Charlie Bucket, "Never forget what happened to the little boy who got everything he wanted." And then he pauses and he says, "He lived happily ever after." I know it seems selfish to get everything you want, but boy, how could you not be happy when you have everything you want?
Well, you can't, exactly, but I suppose what popped in my mind there was when I don't necessarily think it's a good idea to give your children everything they want.
No, it's not. Of course it's not. You have to, you know, here's a lesson I've learned very, very well in having kids. Is that they, and I, you know, I kind of thought this when I was on the kid end of the equation, but I really see it now as on the adult, the parent end of the equation. I see that my daughters just appreciate things so much more when they're not handed to them, when they have to earn it, when they have to go out and babysit for other little kids and earn money, and then they go and buy something. Whatever they've purchased, they just appreciate a lot more. That's a tried and true formula, but it takes us all a little while to realize that.
Yes, and even to take that one step further, I say that appreciation is one of the core fundamentals of happiness. So, I mean, I remember as a little girl, you know, which didn't have all the technology we have today, I just had some pencil crayons that were, you know, apparently a little bit expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really my favorite toy, and I treasured them. I sharpened them. I put them in colors. You know what I mean? And yet, that was so much joy was coming from that. And now, I mean, we buy the kids, you know, some pencil crayons for 50 cents, you know.
I know.
They've got about 30 packs because they keep losing them. So, yeah, we lose that sense of joy because it's just handed to us. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, when we buy something and it's just something that we didn't just get handed, We do. Yeah. For sure.
So a little while ago, as you were explaining the process of kind of almost deprogramming, of breaking the mold because, you know, we're taught by our parents or by our schools, you know, on how we all have limits to what we can achieve, how do we fix that? Where does that start? Does that start with parenting? Does it start with the schools? Where exactly have we gone wrong, and what do we need to do to correct that?
Okay, yeah, it does. It all starts with knowledge, and at the same time, we get the knowledge, but we need to apply it. So this is something that I do, again, with the Thinking Into Results program, is that a lot of people have a lot of knowledge because of life experience, etc., but they don't do anything with it. So I don't necessarily see a very quick fix to changing what is taught in school. However, there is just so much knowledge out there now that is going to show us who we truly are, that we really are infinite beings who can achieve extraordinary things, and we all have talents that maybe the world doesn't value because of, you know, the way our trends are, or you know, maybe you don't want to be a lawyer, you don't want to be an accountant, or, you know, you don't want to be an actor. But at the same time, it's a talent that makes you happy. And ultimately, I find as well is when we go for things that make us happy and that we love to do and that we're good at, it somehow serves others in a great way as well.
You say, you write about this, that people create goals, and yet once they have those goals, they don't really change any of their habits. Talk about that. Do you need to change your habits to help for your goal to succeed?
Yes, and that's one of the reasons you actually even create a goal. Absolutely, we will get the goal ultimately. From what I've seen, people get even more than what they expected. However, for that to happen, we need to grow, we need to change, we need to be prepared, be willing. It comes that word willing again. Be willing to try something new, do things differently. In fact, often what you'll find is that people who don't achieve are the people who don't want to change. So they keep their life the same. They'll keep doing the same action, same routine every day.
Mm-hmm.
The people who succeed will go after the results that they want, and they're prepared to do things that maybe make them feel a little bit uncomfortable or maybe a little bit, fearful because it's something new. But that's the person who's going to ultimately grow, which brings happiness, mm-hmm. and they'll also get their goal.
Janet, about a little over a week ago, I was reading online. There was a story, and I think it's from a book. I'm almost positive it's from a book, but I was reading it online. They were saying the habits of highly effective people. They were taking people who started up their own businesses or who have achieved great things, and they were talking about their habits. And actually, my wife was making fun of me because she said, which one of those people played video games for 2 hours a day, which I will every once in a while do. It was just saying that people do, as you have said, they'll figure out what they want to do, and they'll kind of limit themselves and do things that will head them towards that goal. Why do we have a hard time doing that? It seems like such an easy, clear path, and yet for so many of us, that's not that easy to achieve.
Yeah, okay. I would say lack of knowledge and understanding about how the mind works plays a big part there. However, it is those people with highly effective habits who will get what it is that they want in their life. And it's precisely why I run a program that helps people to understand all of this.
Yeah.
Once we go for something, and also, Bill, an interesting thing is that are more likely to achieve a goal of something that we really badly want. So it depends on how badly we want the thing as to whether we're prepared to really go for it and change the way we're doing things currently.
Sure.
But it does take a bit of effort, and as I said, often beneath all of this stuff, we give ourselves all these reasons why we can't do it. We don't have time, or we don't have the money, or we're lazy, we even say. But ultimately, it is fear that's behind it. And it even comes back, we probably didn't finish talking about this before, but it comes into the fact that it's in our DNA that we must conform, and we must not rock the boat. And so what we tend to do is what's easy and what we've seen other people do.
Sure.
And so, as you say, you might play video games because everybody else plays them. But probably if nobody played them, nobody played them,
It's, mm-hmm.
Also, video games are an interesting thing because, I mean, my son was playing them and we were losing him as a very carefree little boy because everything's happening outside of them. They're not creating from within. There's been just all this entertainment happening outside, so there's no effort required from within. And we tend to then also even sit in front of television or watch soap operas because there's no effort required at all, and we need to get that back and also see the reward that comes from the effort, because then we get proud of ourselves and go, look what I did.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. That's Janet Poole, the award-winning author of How to Get Anything You Want Just Like That. Like I said, her website is her name, Janet Poole, with an E at the end of Poole.com. Janet, great talking to you. I appreciate you spending time with us.
Thank you so much, Bill. And could I just mention as well that there are 3 free chapters from my book, free to download from my website as well?
I think you can mention that, sure. I think that's doable.
And one more thing is it became a bestseller on Amazon in February.
Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
Very, very nice. All right, stick around.
It was part of the fun.
I loved it. Stick around. We have a lot more coming your way next. It's Bill Leff on WGN.